E2, number 24B.
Well, let's take the Christ vertical and see the Christ in its absolute sense and see what the Christ means in the various matrices. And it shows, oh yes, first the Christ is shown as the Christ idea. That's the word, that the God says, I have an idea. That Christ as the Christ in its own nature brings forth always its likeness, never anything else. And that therefore, because it brings forth his whole likeness, it is always acting as the fullness of the Christ, as the glory of the Christ, doing what? Finally, in science, that it brings down that whole glory of the Christ and translates it to the point of man, so that man is really the idea of glory. Can you see the flow in it? And you see also the differentiation of these four, and how what a pity it would be, and how we could misunderstand any matrix that does not show what kind of word and Christ and Christianity and so is meant. Or you take Christianity from the absolute standpoint and go through vertically, and you get that flow which first states, well, Christianity is nothing else but God's infinite self-reflection, showing that God has an outcome, and that outcome is God's own reflection. As a Christ, it begins to show that this idea is always as within itself, the seed within itself, so that it can preserve itself, conserve itself, safeguard itself, maintain itself, sustain itself. You get the seed within itself. The moment you get the seed within itself, you know that you go over to the Christ concept. And the outcome of it is that the idea of man is seen in its perfection, that you can never have a fallen man anymore. And when we see that, that leads us on and shows that there is more to the idea than just man. There is a realm of ideas, and this is the only realm we have to deal with. The moment we leave Christianity and come to science, we leave behind the concept of man, but we have only the realm of idea, and only begin to think in terms of idea and no more in terms of man and the universe. Well, let's take the last one, science, where we see it starts out with the word sense of science, namely that God says, I interpret myself. You people don't have to interpret me. I, God, have within myself a science, and I state myself, I interpret myself. The moment we have a Christ touching it, we can see that self-interpretation of the word begins to operate as an idea in its principle, as a system of ideas in its principle. And the outcome of it is that we get the system of man, the calculus as man, the science of man. And if we drop man in science, we see nothing is going on but the unity, the oneness of principle and idea. And you come to the cornerstone, to the pinnacle of revelation, that nothing is going on but the unity of principle and idea. Or take the diagonal and see the beauty of it, and then you catch the main tone of the four. The diagonal shows that we build on what? The word as the word. Namely, that God declares himself. Without going declaring himself what it is, we would never get anywhere. The Christ as a Christ, that this self-declaration as a Christ and says, I manifest myself as my own likeness. Immanuel, God with us. And what is the outcome of it is Christianity as Christianity, the idea of man's perfection, that man is perfect. And the culmination of it is that we rise above the concept of man and come to the scientific contemplation of the infinite one principle, including its own idea, including the whole realm of metaphysics in that principle and idea one. So in this way, you see, we reduce. And you see, first we had 4 times 4 absolute place values of the 4, these 16, and now we trace them back again to the diagonal, and we just have those 4. And so little by little our consciousness is getting simpler and simpler and simpler, but deeper and deeper and deeper. We touch more and more rock bottom reality, just the deep down facts of being. Can you say deep down facts? Perhaps that's a new Americanism from Switzerland. No? You say it's a, you feel the ground of your being. That's the new expression the theologians have, like Tillich. That we have to find the ground of being. And can you see we did not arrive at that just by nicely thinking an inspirational may, what could the world be, what could the Christ be, but that we did take the revealed text of the Bible and the textbook, and through induction, but naturally scientific induction, we would arrive at this fundamental concept of being. Now, we can do the very same thing now with the J index. So take another sheet of paper and build up a J index. So we take the J index, and because the J are showing us the horizontals, so we show the J as horizontals. Therefore, you have on the upper left corner first matrix, the matrix which we consider, which means that there on the vertical we have the word matrix and the Christ matrix, the Christianity matrix and the science matrix. And now we take those 4 matrices which we have been doing and put in first the J index which we got when we did the word. So we have to take in always the word in every one of those matrices. You see? Now you take in the Dolly matrix, the word matrix, we had as the word the creative with a question mark. Then in the Christ matrix, which was the prophets, we had as the word that the divine purpose is defined. Then in the Christianity matrix, we had as the word horizontally accepting the new faith, the new vision. And in the science matrix, textbook matrix, we had as the word horizontally the scientific proposition. Then we see what means horizontally the Christ in those 4 matrices. The Christ in John Dolly's matrix, we said, was showing somehow the Christ selfhood with a question mark, because we didn't want to fix ourselves in the Dolly matrix. Then we had the Christ matrix, and there the horizontal Christ was the enforcement of retranslation. Then in the Christianity matrix, what did you have there in Christianity? Claiming, and we said that by claiming, a transformation takes place, and then in the textbook matrix, as the Christ, we felt it was showing the power of manifestation. When we said it is actually the power of manifestation in spite of the flesh, so that it shows that it is touching the relative sense. Yes. Now, we go to Christianity horizontal. Again, what did we have in John Dolly's matrix tentatively? We said it is showing the individual demonstration of the Word. In the Christ matrix, we had really the disappearance of evil and the appearance of good. Then in the Christianity matrix, what did we have there? Can you see where we are? Huh? Yes? Steadfastly abiding, and that will bring victory. Huh? Abiding steadfastly brings victory. And then in science, we had always a sense of exaltation taking place. Then we ask ourselves, what have we found as the science horizontal? In the word matrix of John Dolly, it was a sense of God being, the beingness of God. Then in the Christ matrix of the minor prophets, we felt that they were always showing that an understanding of God is necessary. Understanding of God. In the epistle matrix, Christianity, showing that we must give the proof by living, a living proof. And very definitely in the textbook matrix, we have scientific understanding. Now, we can see if somehow we get the flow. We can test it again and see spiritually, do we get the flow in these horizontals? And each time, so to say, we must get a human approach to the subject, a human touch of Word, Christ, Christianity, and science, because this is now no more the relative I index, it's the J index. And so the Word always seems to start with a creative sense. Without the creative sense, nothing really starts humanly. The moment we have a creative sense, we must define the purpose of that creative sense so that we are not working in a wrong direction for a wrong purpose. So the Christ comes along and gives to that creative sense a divine purpose and defines it and says for what it is going to be creative. Then Christianity comes and says, but this does not really happen in your life until you accept this new vision. Until you accept the Word and the Christ. Nothing will happen until you let it in and accept it. And this is, in science, your only scientific proposition on which to base yourself. Don't go away anymore from that. Don't waver anymore. This is the scientific proposition. Or if we take the Christ and look at the Christ, then we see that humanly we see that there is fundamentally the Christ selfhood. Without the Christ selfhood, we could never experience God because there would be no image and likeness of God. So we start somehow with the fact that there is a Christ selfhood in being, which does what? As the Christ. It enforces a retranslation of whatever is not of the nature of the Christ selfhood. So it begins to retranslate everything that is not of the nature of Christ selfhood, and by sticking with it, by claiming it, and sticking with it, a transformation takes place, actually in living. We get a new style of life. And this is, from the science point of view, saying that not we have to do the whole thing, that not we have to retranslate, that not we have to transform ourselves, but that it rests on the scientific fact that in being is that power that does manifest itself as what? As the Christ selfhood, as the retranslation, and as the reformation. Can you see, science always gives us then, so to say, humanly, the authority from which we draw. If we go through Christianity horizontally, we can see that the outcome in the human should always be an individual demonstration. That's the point of Christianity, the point of individual demonstration. What does it imply as the Christ? That in that individual demonstration, evil should disappear and good should appear. That's what the Christ says to the world. And Christianity says to that world, and that by abiding steadfastly in that understanding, that this will bring us, a final victory, a triumph, a demonstration in the human, which is what? That fundamentally man is exalted, that is his normal state, a state of exaltation in the human. Or if we take the last one, horizontal, science horizontal, it has a lot to do with science and being and business, namely that first it states the world in its beingness as God being, which the Christ says, you must understand. Understanding is always that pivotal point of the true translation. If you understand it, you can prove it by your living. Before you don't understand it, you can't prove it. And so you can prove it by living it. And the more you prove it and live it, the more you begin to get a scientific understanding of the whole process that goes on. That the whole thing is rests on a science which we can understand. Or take the diagonal, then humanly you get what? Humanly you see that something is happening, the creative, that there is some creative action going on, so that God is no more up in heaven and you don't know that he exists and if he exists and what he does up on cloud nine, but it is right here that you feel there is a constant creative action going on. And that creative action in the human is enforcing a retranslation, is enforcing that things that are not of God's nature are being retransformed, and that brings in Christianity as Christianity a victory, a triumph, which finally says, and this is what you should understand and not just believe in. This is not blind faith, and the more you understand it, the more you can go back again and feedback, the more you can be creative. And the more you are creative, the more a translation goes on. The more that translation goes on, the more you win a victory, and the better you understand it, the more you go back to the creative. It's every diagonal, so to say, gives us that feedback law of self-organization. Yes, well, that gives us a sense of how one has worked over the last 20, 25 years in order to see if that what John Dolley initially began to see as the Word and Christ and Christianity, if this could be substantiated through the Bible and the textbook. And so I showed you this method. You see, mostly was method. I didn't teach actually very much in the way of transmitting true facts or truth statements to the student, but that I was trying really to show how we could work with a text, and that from the text we really should gain our insight if that text is an inspired text. So our hypothesis naturally is that the Bible and the textbook are divinely inspired texts, that they are written by the divine mind, therefore by the law of mind, and by the system of principle, and therefore showing the matrix of love. That is the hypothesis from which we work, and without that hypothesis we naturally can go right back to any religion and to any mystical approach to being. But on this very fact, that these two books actually are books of revelation, on the basis of revelation we should see that revelation and reason are one, that revelation and logic are one, that they should not contradict themselves. And so, because very few have that initial transparency of being receptive for revelation, we still have the way of science, and that way of science is what Missy Vazetti wanted to show us. Well, that's it. Thank you.